attack today. Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, we have George Knapp, investigative reporter, who's covered the Skinwalker Ranch, Bob Lazar, Area 51, so many things. Now, let me tell you a story here, George, and Chris will get into more detail about it. And that is, we had a guest on the show. The guy's name was Chip, or that's the name he used, and he claimed that he had worked at Skinwalker Ranch for Bigelow.
Well, it was pretty simple. I was contacted by another investigator who said he had a source who had worked for quite some time up on the ranch and had documentation to kind of verify that, which I did see, and I vetted him and spoke with him about his experiences up there, and it all seemed to wash, at least. I mean, he definitely appeared to be the person that he claimed he was, and he had some pretty interesting observations about how things operated up there while he was there, which was, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Gene, but I think it was in 2008 or the end of 2008, beginning of 2009. So this is fairly recent in terms of his employment up there. For some reason, he felt that words should get out about how things operated up there. He didn't really experience anything that I would call extra mundane or the types of activity that was reported early on in the late 90s, early 2000s. But he did talk about several things that I found very interesting. One was he was instructed during his security walk-arounds at the ranch to obviously keep track of activity outside the ranch that was seen to be people watching or potential trespassers and that sort of thing, which I'm sure you're aware that a lot of that kind of activity was going on due to the notoriety of the place. And he did log on a number of occasions some pretty interesting incidents, but he was instructed to take photographs with a digital camera and to be especially mindful of those photographs where these orbs showed up in the picture. Now, most of our listeners, you, George, and Angie, know that a vast majority of these so-called orb pictures that some of the woo-woo crowd tends to really blow it up and think that it's something, an indication of something extra mundane. We all know that most of these photographs are particulate matter that's, you know, being exposed by a flash and out of focus to make them appear. But he said, yeah, he understood that, but he was instructed to make note of when these types of orbs occurred in conjunction with photographing around areas where he felt that there was some sort of activity going on, or the dog that he would take in his rounds would maybe react, and he would flash some pictures. And he mentioned something called the Orb Project, that Mr. Bigelow or someone there at NIDS at some point had created some sort of project called the Orb Project. Now, when he mentioned this was news to me. I'd never heard this before, and I was wondering if this was something that you heard about and whether there was any indication to you, and based on your kind of insider knowledge up there, that these orbs showing up in pictures were somehow important. Does that ring any sort of bell with you?
It does. It does. I think Guy Chip, from what I remember a couple of years ago, really did work there. I don't remember what his name is. It might have been Chip. And I do recall hearing tangentially, I never heard it called the Orb Project, but I do remember hearing tangentially of an interest in orbs and recognizing that the vast majority of them are easily explained, and I think Bigelow and his team are aware of that. But somewhere along the line, they've got some kind of indication that at least some of these things represent something else. And I remember early in the early days of the stuff of the ranch, Chris, you were there before I was, but in the early days of the ranch when Terry was and his family were still there, they would see these orbs of different colored kind of things that would float around.
Right. Well, those are the softball-sized blue lights.
Well,
I was actually on the phone with Terry with Yeah, but there were other colors too, but the smaller ones I think tended to be the blue and sort of whitish color ones. But these you could readily see with the naked eye. The ones that he was referring to were not visible except on being revealed on these digital photographs. And I've been debunking the orb photographs for years, trying to get people to understand that it's particulate matter, insects, whatever. But this guy claimed that, hey, even if these things turn up and even if they are mundane, they're an indication of something. And I always found that very interesting, and I've always wanted to find out more about this orb project, because if there is some indicative quality to these things that might indicate there's something energetically going on in a particular location, I would like to know more about that. Do you think go ahead.
I think that there is something to it, that they have some kind of indication, and I am not privy to the specifics, but they have some kind of indication that at least some of these things are of interest. I suspect that they would have had Chip or guys like him go ahead and photograph it regardless, and report it regardless of whether you think it's real or not, and let somebody else make the determination of whether there's something to it other than the security guy. I wish I could tell you more. I could ask about it and see what I find out, but I have not been to the ranch since right about the same time that they started having the 24/7 security.
Right.
Bigelow had been complaining about all the intrusions, and he and I went up there with the security chief and had some encounters every time, both nights we were there. And after that, he decided to have security, and it's justified, too. As Chris, as you know, it's been crazy up there.
Absolutely.
Gene and I were talking about earlier. Intrusions pretty much every day. A lot of it's just kids wanting to scare their dates, but it's also really some pretty nasty stuff, nasty vandalism, and crazy UFO people that they've had to take measures to deal with. I do know that at least some of the security people who've been up there in the last couple of years have had their own experiences. I know that there have been continuing experiences in the larger basin area, but I wish I knew enough about the orb research to tell you more, but I do know I have heard them say that they're interested in the phenomena, and I would have to guess that at least a few of these things are more interesting than just pieces of dust in the sky.
Right, and I agree with you on that, and I'd like to know more. One of the questions that we have here, it talks about the dog that this guy used to walk around with. And one of the things that I've always taken note of, especially in the cattle mutilation cases that I investigated, I took along my brother's Pyrenees, who was the lead investigator in the first one into a particular site. I think dogs are a very, very good tool. And Chip mentioned that sometimes the dogs would roll over and act out of character for them, either cower or roll over and actually kind of show their neck, so to speak, and be subservient to some sort of energy that they were feeling. And how about the dogs? Do you know if dog reactions were ever really something important that was noted?
Yeah, there were a bunch of them and fairly dramatic incidents. There was one incident where a physicist, accompanied by another PhD, they're walking in the middle homestead, and you've been there, Chris, but they're walking in the middle homestead at night with these two dogs. All of a sudden, this big black blob starts floating through the trees, and the dogs suddenly stop. They get behind these guys, hide behind their legs. They're cowering in fear and shivering, and then this intelligence sort of took over the brain of one of the guys and started speaking through him. And these dogs were scared to death. You've all seen pictures of the ranch and these strange observation towers that were built with fences around them. The NIDS team had dogs. They call them biosensors. They thought they're so attuned to the environment that they'd be valuable as sensory devices, and they put them in these fences, and so many games were played with the dogs where the locks were ripped off and the dogs were let go. You'll also recall the story about that the rancher told about one of the last straws that he had on the property.
Okay, we have to stop for a second. We have to do a break, and then we'll get back with more of this discussion. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you.
there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
We've lived in this neighborhood for years. We have an alarm system, and all of our doors have deadbolts. They kicked in our door, and we're in and out of our house in about 5 minutes. The police arrived in about 20 minutes, but they were long gone with our TV, jewelry, and my guns. I kept thinking, what if my family had been home? The police officer said that more than 85% of break-ins are through a door, and that deadbolts alone don't stop intruders. The officer told me to go to EasyArmor.net if we wanted something that would actually stop an intruder. Easy Armor reinforces all of the weak points on your doors and is guaranteed to prevent kick-ins. I was surprised at how little Easy Armor costs, and I installed Easy Armor in about 30 minutes.
Visit EasyArmor.net. That's the letters Easy, A-R-M-O-R.net. Or call 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. EasyArmor.net. Ultimate door security made easy.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com. Spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have George Knapp. The show has not gone to the dogs, except that he's telling you about the peculiar or frightened reaction of our canine friends when they're over at Skinwalker Ranch.
There's the one story, and maybe this is when you were on the phone, Chris, with the ranchers, that he's talking on the phone, and this blue meanie, one of these blue objects, is luring the three of his dogs out into the pasture. They're jumping up at it, snapping their jaws, and it stays just out of their reach, and it lures them across the pasture out into the brush. And then all of a sudden it goes out of sight, and the rancher hears these horrible screams, And it turns out the next day he finds the remains of these dogs. They've basically just been vaporized, these three greasy spots on the ground. There's one other dog story. Is that on the day that this calf was mutilated in broad daylight on a Sunday morning in full view of the rancher and his wife as they're out tagging the ears of these newborn calves, this one calf, the first one that they had tagged, was stripped of 75 pounds of meat in a matter of 30 minutes, no sound, no anything. They were alerted to what was going on by a dog, which was started barking in the direction of where they had come, barking in the direction to where this calf had been mutilated, and then the dog took off in the opposite direction, and they never saw it again. So they had a lot of strange reactions to dogs, both the rancher and the Nids family, and I think it's very telling.
How about the dog man? Do you recall hearing anything about that? I think this would have been December 2009, where this almost sounds like a werewolf-type creature was seen leaping from reservation house to reservation house, leaps of 20 feet or more. It was my understanding that that NIDS personnel hired a private investigator team to go up there and do a survey of some of the witnesses. Do you recall that?
I don't know much about that one, but I'll tell you an earlier one. And this is one of the only story that Colm Kelleher and I struggled with about whether to include in the book. I mean, it's filled with a whole bunch of weird stuff. But we really had trouble with the story of the dog man. And this is a story that was told by two Native American police officers who had been friendly with the Bigelow organization. They're on patrol, and they come up to the dirt road that leads to the ranch, and they see a couple of guys standing, smoking cigarettes, wearing trench coats, looking down the dirt road toward the ranch. They shine their light on them, and these guys turn around and look at them, and they were dogs. They had dog faces. Smoking cigarettes, the two Indian officers look at each other almost in total shock, look back, and these guys are gone. Poof. They walk out of their cars, look around, flash their flashlights. They found two cigarettes that were still burning, but the guys were gone. And I would have thought that was so ridiculous that it would hurt our credibility to include it, but we decided to go ahead and throw it in and let people judge it for themselves. And since then, of course, Linda Godfrey has written a couple of books about the dog men, and the tribe there that lives in the Fort Duchesne area has had other stories about these creatures that look like men. They're bipedal humanoid shapes, but with dog faces. I don't know the results of the investigators that were hired to track that story down, but it would not surprise me at all. It's very consistent with other stories that we've heard in that area. And other stories that I've heard since the book came out about, I'm sure you've heard the same kind of things too.
I have, and this one particular incident was actually witnessed by law enforcement personnel. It didn't happen on the ranch, but happened up the road in Fort Duchesne. And the descriptions that I heard, based on some of my own research up there, and also a couple of other researchers talked to some folks up there, and one of the law enforcement officers, this thing was actually leaping from rooftop to rooftop with, you know, the space of 20 to 30 feet in between these houses, and it was able to cover this distance in their estimation effortlessly. So there's a lot of strange stuff going on up there, no question about it. We have an interesting question here, which I did not know this information, but this comes from Black Rock Lobster. He's one of our he's been a poster at forum.theparacast.com for about a year now, and he's a Utah resident, and he's an avid caver. And he says, I often wonder, why is it never mentioned that so many extensive cave systems exist around the area of the ranch in the Uinta Basin? I have been in the caves with six or more miles of passages in that area, with subterranean lakes that seem bottomless. And his question is was there any geographic study included in the investigation? He says that you participated in. Obviously, I don't think so, but do you know of any sort of subterranean mapping work that NIDS may have done at some point, or any sort of indication that they had an interest in possible subterranean negative spaces, cavern systems, that sort of thing in the area? And also, would you comment on the secrecy surrounding cave locations and their tightly guarded access by groups like the NSS? And I'm not sure, I think he might be talking about NIDS.
Yeah, you know what? I have never heard of this extensive cave system. It's completely news to me. And Chris, I don't know if you've heard of it before, but it's news to me. I do know that the NIDS guys were, when they first got on the ranch, were looking for prosaic explanations for a variety of phenomena that had been reported. So they were looking for gravity anomalies. They did a lot of aerial surveys. They were interested in underground stuff only because of the stories told by the rancher about these strange conditions that were placed on him by the previous owners.
No, right, digging about digging.
And you'll recall that the family that lived there often heard things underground. It was like there was an underground railroad or like a steel mill. They would hear these sounds. They'd feel the ground rumble. They also would see sometimes bursts of light that would come seemingly out of the ground. And so there was a lot of stuff that they suspected about underground. I know the NIDS folks in years after the peak of the activity regretted that they didn't do more ground activity. They always talked about having ground penetrating radar, but of course you got 480 acres. That's a lot of ground to cover with ground penetrating radar, and they never did it. I've never heard about the caves. I don't know what about any gathering protection of, or keeping people out of these caves. I don't think it's NIDS that's doing it, but I did hear about some canyons that were strictly off limits that the tribe had mentioned. NIDS had tried to get their permission to go to those canyons, which were, I think, a couple of miles from the ranch. And the story that Junior Hicks and others had told is this supposed skinwalker that would travel the ridge lived in this canyon. And the tribe said, absolutely not. You can't go there. There's no study. White men are not allowed. So that's as close as I get to any caves.
How about stories of another canyon that was about 30 miles away, I think to the southwest? One name that I heard associated with it was Dark Canyon. Does that ring a bell? Because evidently there was quite a bit of activity in that area, some of which is quite reminiscent of things that that Terry and Glenn were reporting prior to NIDS arrival.
Well, we might be talking about the same canyon. I'm just guessing that it was a couple miles away. It might have been as far as 30 miles away. But I know that, I don't think we wrote about it, but I know that in conversations with some of the NIDS folks that they really did want to go to it, but they wouldn't do it without the tribe's permission, and they absolutely could not get it. It might be the same thing you and I are talking about.
We'll have so much more to talk about in our final 2 seconds with George Knapp. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135, and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, George Knapp, investigative journalist, award-winning investigative journalist, who was one of the co-authors of The Hunt for the Skinwalker, and has covered this field for so many years with the tolerance of his bosses. Chris, you were asking questions from our question bank section at forum.theparacast.com. I know there are a few more left. Would you proceed?
Indeed, and this comes from Son of a Skunk. I always wondered where he got the name from, and he kind of lets us know in his question. He says, my dad worked for the Lockheed Skunk Works back in the day, hence the username. He was a journeyman machinist, but all the way up into his 80s, he would never discuss what he did there. In fact, it wasn't until years after he retired that he would even admit that he worked in that part of Lockheed. I've always understood his loyalty to his country, its secrets, and applaud him for it. But my question is this. Obviously, in your investigation of the Skunk Works, Area 51, etc., you've also run into this reluctance to talk. How much of the history of these places, projects, and workers do you feel has been lost forever because workers like my dad refused to say anything, even anonymously? And he also adds, P.S., thanks for so promptly answering my recent email to you about your public speaking schedule in the good old days at Caesar's Palace.
Well, Skunk, I will tell you this. I think a lot of that history has been lost because of excessive secrecy. I mean, stuff was classified that so deep and dark down in a hole that it'll never come out. I applaud the efforts of people like the Roadrunners that 7 years ago or so, they came out. I think I got the first TV interviews with them where they were got clearance from the CIA to finally talk about projects they worked on 50 years ago, the SR-71, the U-2, the A-12, these amazing machines that helped win the Cold War that were developed right out there at Area 51. But there's a heck of a lot of secrets that have not been cleared for them to talk about. I'm glad for the ones that we do know. Those guys are a different generation, you know. When they took an oath to keep a secret, they kept it. And very few of them have talked about the things that they worked on. They wouldn't even tell their own wives, and it's too bad. I think that the Skunk Works is a key to the whole mystery, that if anyone in the private sector were to be given hardware recovered from some crash site or something, and somebody hands it over and said, figure out how this works, it would be them. Ben Rich, the late Ben Rich, gave many hints to that effect. He said to aviation writers that all of us know that we have things that could go to the stars that would make George Lucas drool. Anything you could imagine, we can already do it. We're 50 years ahead of it. He talked about UFOs as being real, both man-made and made by somebody else. I had a chance to interview Ben Rich on the tarmac at Nellis Air Force Base on the day that the F-117 was first made public, and I asked him the question, hey, Mr. Rich, the story's been told that you developed these plane and the and others with alien technology, and he stopped and he hesitated and smiled, a wry kind of smile, and they said, no, it's just good old American technology. But I know in a deathbed confession that he said it's much more than that, that these secrets are so black and so far down in the hole, they will never come out for national security reasons, which I think are completely exaggerated, and it's a shame.
Yeah, I especially loved his comment. I think it was to a symposium of engineers, something about we have the technology to take ET home or something.
yeah, exactly.
Okay, I have a number of questions from Blabby Boy that kind of goes into your work as a investigative journalist. And he says, first of all, thanks for bringing a bit more bite to the hosts on Coast to Coast in terms of quizzing guests on the show, which I have to also second that comment. He's interested in how other reporters there in the Vegas area handle some of these types of stories. And, you know, you are quite courageous to go out and really dig into stories that aren't, shall we say, that could possibly be controversial, especially stories like Bob Lazar and the like, which we've already discussed. But he's guessing, Blabby Boy, is that you get leads and tips frequently for strange happenings in your area. Do you know of any other hosts or reporters for other TV networks that have the same goal or interest? I'm not expecting names, but he does wonder if there are a small number in your profession who may tip each other off if they hear of incidents in the region or in their network coverage or stories that they're working on that maybe they don't want to do, that maybe they think you can or vice versa. Or is it a truly lonesome task and others would only cover it if they're ordered to do it? In other words, George, are there any other reporters out there with the stature and the, you know, you're the guy there. And I think what he's wondering is there anybody else that's willing to take these risks that you take?
I don't think so. A lot of it has to do with the nature of the business. People come into Las Vegas in the journalism profession. They want to be here for a couple of years and then go to some bigger market. So they don't stick around long enough to have a lot of stature. And you got to have some kind of a background. Chris and Gene, both of you, it's a big learning curve to get over the hump on this thing.
Oh,
it takes a long time to figure out what's real, what isn't. You have to figure out who the absolute charlatans are to separate wheat from chaff. It takes time. And in the TV business, not many people have the time. They get a new assignment every day. There is no such thing as a beat system. And a lot of it has to do with other people don't cover it because they figure it's my beat. And maybe they'll do it in sweeps for a quick rating spike, but that's about it. There is no secret network of people who share information in this regard, I am sad to say.
I would also think here that some of those people are thinking, look, I'm going to get into L.A., New York, Chicago or something.
Yeah.
I don't want to get involved in this UFO stuff. That's going to hurt my reputation.
Yeah, it does you no favors. I think, I'm happy where I am. I've had offers to go elsewhere, but I wouldn't want to do it because I have so much freedom to do what I want here, and it's a great news market. But I'm sure that the UFO stuff has put some sort of an upper cap on my career if I wanted to try to go somewhere, because everywhere I go, I'm a UFO guy. I mean, in journalism circles, and
that'll be on my tombstone. You're blind and stained.
Yeah, that's all right. That's okay. Comes with the territory.
Well, it sure does out in that neck of the woods with S4 and, you know, Dreamland and everything out there. I mean, it's kind of your ace in the hole and your way to sort of say, well, look, you know, a lot of this stuff is being misconstrued. We need to, you know, separate what is, you know, what's homegrown and what maybe possibly something else. And that is probably the only market where you would be able to really do that, a major market.
Well, you're right, and that most of what I do in this arena is more weeding stuff out and explaining things. No, that's a bolide media, or going down to the Colorado River a couple of years ago when some odd craft had been seen down there, and people thought it was aliens invading or flying saucer. I'm pretty sure it was some sort of a test aircraft that sort of got off the reservation or something.
Right.
Explaining things, missile shots from Vandenberg, things of that sort. I don't get a whole lot of really interesting, crisp UFO sightings.
Right.
And what do you do with it? What do you do with it, even if it's good? Even if you've got video to go along with it, it's not much you can do with it other than show, look, here it is. You know, there's not much investigation that goes into it after you show the video.
Well, and I think we should remind our listeners that you're not a one-trick pony. I mean, your award-winning work with any number of stories, including your 20-plus year odyssey of reporting on the wild horse scenario out there, and you know, the years and years of work that you put in covering those you know, the story of those animals. So I mean, Vegas isn't a very big city, but it's very intense, and there's a lot of newsworthy stuff that needs to be reported on there. Blabbyway has another couple of questions, and this is a good one. Is there a particular historical case that you would have loved to have reported on, and why? I guess he's not couching that as some sort of paranormal or UFO case, but potentially, is there some sort of case that maybe you could have been involved with or would have liked to have been involved with in your career?
And you know what, George, you're going to answer that question in just a moment. George
okay.
Knapp joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Are we travel? So much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets, but fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use, you just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BlockItPocket.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
Being prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words, disaster, stuff. Add .com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost, and protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
George Knapp joining Gene and Chris in the Paracast, asking so many of your questions at forum.theparacast.com just before we did the break. Chris asked a rather long question from one of our regular listeners. George, your response?
I think one of the most interesting and persuasive cases is the Iranian Air Force incident. I think it was 1976. Our government did the best to hide the documents. These warplanes, this giant UFO was seen flying around. Warplanes went after it. Their radios were disabled. Their military equipment, their offensive capabilities were disabled. Pretty well-documented case that I think is very persuasive, especially when you read about it in documents that were once classified. I think the JAL, the Japan Airlines case, Alaska, with this gigantic UFO that was detected on all sorts of radar. It looked like a walnut that's twice as big as a 747. And I think they tried to explain it as away as lights flashing off the fishing fleet below or the planet Jupiter, which is just insulting. Those are pretty good cases. Of course, I wish I'd been around at Roswell in 1947 when that happened, to be there to see what really goes on, because that I still suspect that that's an important case, but it is so hopelessly muddled. The water's so muddied over the years with so many BS stories and phony witnesses and counter competing claims. I don't know that it's ever going to be sorted out. The problem is, I think, for people like the three of us, we strive to search for truth and get to the bottom of what really is going on. The people who want to obscure these facts are better at their jobs than we are at ours. And maybe it's easier for them to obscure things because they toss out bogus explanations. Scientists who don't want to take on this topic are only happy to grasp onto them and do very little investigation. And it becomes frustrating. Ultimately, it becomes very frustrating to have media people and scientists and government give so little credence to the topic when we know that there is really good evidence to pursue if somebody has the guts to pursue it.
Yeah, boy, I know the feeling on that one, especially when it comes to the cow question that I've been wrestling with for quite some years. I'm in the midst of finishing up research and I'm writing what I hope to be the definitive look at the cattle mutilation phenomenon. Of course, your co-author, Colm Kelleher, did just an absolute amazing job with his book Brain Trust, which along with Hunt for the Skinwalker, I highly recommend. I think this is a huge news story. I think the beef lobby in this country is somehow suppressing knowledge of potential food chain problems in beef and other animals, chicken, pork, and as well. But it does take a certain amount of cojones to dig into some of these types of stories. And this is another kind of procedural question from Blabby Boy, and I think it's a good one. Is there a tip-off or a lead that you've ignored that turned out to be bigger than you thought? And what kind of – do you just report the facts or do you have an end goal in mind? Do you just let the facts lead you where they do, or do you actually – kind of go on hunches and look for supporting information where you would normally not? And have you ever not, let's say, gone after a particular story that turned out to be a big deal? One that would come to mind for me would be, the Arabs leaving and being able to fly out of Vegas and Los Angeles the day after 9/11. That would be a story that I felt didn't get enough attention. But how about you? I mean, that's a wild and raucous town. Have there been some stories that you could have jumped on that you didn't?
Yeah, I got to think about how to approach this. Sure. There's tons. I mean, there's only so much to go around, you know, and this is a really busy town. You got all roads lead to Las Vegas. Rich people and sportscasters and sports figures and celebrities, drug dealers, and every ne'er-do-well on the planet ends up coming here. You can't believe how many fugitives we get. Bank managers have embezzled a big pile of money, people on the run, gangsters, crooked politicians. I mean, it's a great news town. So I've missed plenty of them because there just aren't enough hours in the day, you know. And that one that you mentioned about the Saudis being here, we didn't even know for a while, you know, and we're pretty mad about it. In fact, we didn't even know for a while about the 9/11 guys being here in town and having several meetings. I know for a fact that there have been forays by suspected terrorists. They come in posing as tourists, take pictures, have been caught sort of in sensitive areas around hotels, soft targets, sort of like Mumbai, and the story doesn't get much traction. I've done a little bit of reporting on that, but nobody wants to say it because they don't want to scare people away from Las Vegas. The fact is that stuff does happen, and I think it needs more reporting. In the UFO area, there's tons of stuff I wish I could report. But you do have to follow your gut, and a lot of times people call you up with just bits and pieces of the story. They can't support any of it, so you have to let it go. I mean, you have to, you know, there are bills to pay and stories to do and newscasts to fill, and unless a UFO story is particularly compelling and is related to Nevada, something that's specific to my area where I work, I really can't pursue it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you do have those that regional sort of market pair of handcuffs on.
Yeah.
Unless maybe some big mothership came down and sucked up the Luxor or landed on the Luxor and it was like a giant key or something.
Yeah, that would be a good I'm ready one. For that. By the way, yeah. Chris, if you are going to finish this mutilation book, I sure hope you'll consider giving me an interview, even though it's the hated Coast to Coast show. That's a big audience, and I'm sure.
No,
George,
I think Coast to Coast is a great show when you're there as the host. And believe me, I'm one of your biggest fans. I think you are, you know, one of the best, if not the best, interviewer that show has ever had. Art Bell, you know, was very good at what he did, but there was a certain amount of entertainment value. You really, you go for it, and you really want to know the truth. You want to dig in and really pull out the pertinent information, I think you're more like Gene and myself and a few others in this field that are really looking at getting to the heart of these matters. I have one good kind of final question here. I think we're kind of running out of time, but it's a little bit open-ended, but where do you think, George, this is all going? Blabby Boy wants to know if you actually feel what's happening in regards to these strange events and alleged cover-ups is really going anywhere. Do you think we're going to be spinning our wheels and just kind of rehashing Roswell for the next several generations?
Oh, please don't give us that.
Well, I use that as a...
Oh, that's going to be our worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Well,
where's it all going, George? I mean, is there any hope?
You know, Gene and I sort of touched on a little bit, but I don't have a lot of hope. I don't think there's any dramatic disclosure coming, not from our government anyway. If it happens, it's going to be at the hands of the visitors, the other intelligence, or a foreign government, China or Russia or Brazil. We're not going to admit it because we've lied about it for too long. You know, we've painted ourselves into a corner. I can't imagine any leader of this country coming out with some kind of a revelation because there's too many other questions that would follow that they can't answer. So I right. think it continues as a gradual process. It seems to me, it feels to me as if the pace has quickened in the last year. Different insiders coming forward with little tidbits, sort of running it up the flagpole, seeing how it goes, and then moving on to something else. I think that's part of a program. I wouldn't have said that a year ago. I wouldn't have said it maybe 6 months ago, but I've been told enough now by people whose judgment I trust, people who travel in really interesting circles, but who, you know, they don't want any fingerprints on something that they tell to me, that it is happening, that it is real, that there is a faction, finally, that wants to pick up the pace and get us ready for something in case somebody else makes an announcement or in case there's an event that's unforeseen. I hope that's the case. You know, there's people like Stan Friedman, been at this for so long, dedicated their entire lives, 60 years or more, and we're not one bit closer to answering any of the big questions.
I always said, I hope this is going to happen before I reach 114, which I think is next year. Some people think of that. So we can check you out, of course, at KLAS-TV, Channel 8 in Las Vegas. We can check Chris out at OurStrangePlanet.com, and you can check us out. We're known as The Paracast on Twitter. Also, you go to TheParacast.com, check our web portal, our forums, and so much more. George Knapp, thank you so much for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, George.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.